knew it! And get your grandma out of here. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what I say.
And I don't take kindly to that, Sonny.
I thought that's how I start the show, but that's not me. That's Kiss.
Hold on. I've got my walker. I'm moving as fast as I can.
Get out of here, Grandma.
I'm moving.
You and your broken hip.
Oh, it smarts.
All right. Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den. The show that is better than waking up with a gooey surprise on your body.
Oh, wait a minute. Joe's not here yet. We shouldn't be discussing that.
Well, I mean, just in general, you know, it's never good. I'm not.
It is not good.
I'm not casting aspersions on Mr. Curry.
I was just thinking that, you know, if it was going to be something that fit with the, you know, history of the show.
Just these have nothing to do with history. These are just general things that I feel our show is better than.
Okay, well, I think we are better than that.
I wouldn't put it out there we weren't. I set the bar very low.
You know what? That way we can leap over it every time.
Exactly. We look stunning with a low bar. So that's what that
yes,
was about.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so we're better than that.
Thank goodness.
Sure. I shall continue. The number to call in, if you shall desire, while we're live, is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
We have not heard from young Mr. Curry. We assume Mr. Curry will be here soon, but the weather's quite nasty out.
It is really not taking any prisoners out there.
So Joe will be here shortly, or something tragic happened, and next week, Davin's Den will be a very special episode.
Bite your tongue.
No, I will not.
Bite it.
If last week was Joe's show, that's a shame. I will do much editing this week, and I should be able to cobble together someone chose highlights. Just take, 5-10 minutes?
Will you stop?
You think that's too much?
We could put together a Joe automaton. We could just go through and get sound bites of everything that he's ever said on the show and put them together in sentences so he can just join in.
Okay.
In absentia.
So what you're saying is really Joe has a set list of contributions, and that's about it.
No. I'm saying we could put complete sentences together. You know how people have done that, and it's just like...
Joe doesn't even do that.
So people could have conversations that sound like this.
Yeah, but Joe doesn't put complete sentences together. We want to make it authentic.
Maybe we could just do phrases or exclamations. Oh!
Okay. Well, you know, we'll see what we can do. But hopefully Joe will be here. But if not... That's a shame.
And Trucker Tom's on board with me. He says, oh, great, soundboard Plankfoot. That would be it.
You know, there's many a time where I've preferred that at Plankfoot.
No, I prefer the live, the action model that we are used to dealing with. But if we had to deal with soundboard Plankfoot, that might be interesting.
Yeah, but it would involve a lot of editing and technology. Oh,
and that's his job.
Well, no, but I mean, I just don't know if Joe's contributions are worth that many man hours. I have to weigh the process.
Oh man, yes he is.
So, yeah, really? All right. So then you're nominated. You'll be doing the process.
Oh God, no. We still have a live one.
I think we might.
And I think we might have a live one right now.
Let's see.
You probably heard us talking about it.
Yay! We don't have to edit Automatron Joe. We don't have to put together a Best of Joe Curry retrospective. Although it would have filled 5 to 10 minutes worth of air. So I still say that's worth something right there.
You know, he had to say it again so that Joe could hear it.
He probably listened on the way in.
Yeah.
I knew Joe was okay because he wasn't taking pictures of horrible traffic and horrible weather like he likes to do in dangerous circumstances. So I knew Joe was having a smooth ride, and here he is.
He didn't post a video of his dashboard that the ending sentence is, oh shit.
I have to sit here and take it because
no, you can leave.
No, because we no, we're headed to this ride. I'm staying.
No, I know. Right?
Don't you threaten us?
But it's yeah, because usually I forgot about because usually Jesus Christ, what a picture.
Traffic's a bitch out here. There's snow all over. People don't know how to drive. And now would be a good time for a picture.
Yeah. God damn it, all you.
Look at these assholes. No, I mean, look at them. Here's a picture.
If you were Jesus Christ, you go, excuse me, before you nail that into my hand, can I just take a picture?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be you.
looking down. Hey, this is where I'm hanging.
You know, it's just a shame you weren't driving with Dale Earnhardt. You could have had a picture right before he crashed into the wall.
All right, sometimes it's too much.
He's not going to complain. It's fine. So Joe's here. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
So on tonight's show, we'll be playing Boozy or Floozy.
Mm.
And I guess which one I am.
And one lucky listener will get a prize. Let's see. What should we give? Well, maybe we'll give away our CD. Maybe I'll give away a T-shirt. Joe, I emailed you, but as usual, you don't respond. Did we get that thing?
No, they never got back to me.
Well, you didn't tell me you even asked.
Sorry, I was busy.
Well, you see these guys. All right, doesn't matter. We'll give you something good.
Give me one of our CDs.
All right, but some people have it already. So I have to give them something else.
The thousand. Right.
I'm actually moving through a lot of them.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Box is almost empty. Might have to get more.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Somebody's got to do the work of spreading the word.
Yes. So you're evangelizing for our show.
I am. I'm like one of those religious douchebags. I really
You know
am.
What? I got...
evangelized? Have no, you been
I
did, saved?
No, I told you that I got the Jehovah's Witnesses at my door.
No.
Didn't I tell you guys that?
No.
No, but can I set up the show before you do tell us
yes.
that? See, you do have stuff to talk about.
Yes.
All right, look at Joe looking all cold like AIDS cat. You want some broth?
Wow.
Because I just came out of the cold.
It's not that cold. It's a little funky.
It is cold. Yeah, it is cold. I don't know, you know, maybe you were in a house all day. I wasn't. You know, it's cold.
Well, when you build a studio, we'll be in your house all day.
I'm just saying. Okay. Were you in the house all day?
Listen, when you have a house.
Were you in the house all day?
I most just saying, certainly
I'm
was.
I'm right. Oh, I'm generalizing. It's not
I
a
have a window.
I'm right.
You're warm enough to rain.
You were in the house all day. I'm telling you, for somebody who was outside, it's cold outside.
It must be cold because I did put on pants.
Thank God for the cold.
Okay. Hurtful. Well, I shall continue with our show. Respect. So,
but said a word.
What was that?
What?
Another one. Those are words.
Well,
that's a sound.
Not just words. I'm being nice.
Yeah.
But those are words.
Okay.
If you didn't
say... Kind words, then. We'll go back to kind... I haven't said a negative word. I've said kind words. Nothing but kind words.
So this is a nice new sweater.
Oh, this is my Woolly Mammoth pullover. With my little
big dog. I love this. If you know what, though, I have to tell you that from a distance, that looks like a cow.
Yeah, no, it's
that's just his nipple.
It's a big Saint Bernard.
It is? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's a big dog.
Because it's black and white, it looked like a cow.
Oh, this thing keeps me warm as hell. It's like my Woolly Mammoth pullover feel.
Yeah, no, no.
I thought that was
like,
your own hair that did that.
It is enough of it should work.
Can I start the show?
Oh, all right.
I didn't know we need fashion talk with you two. Settle down, Joan and Melissa.
You're funny.
You know. Don't do that. It throws me. There's that kind of word.
That kind of saying. You know, used to.
All right. We'll go. So we're going to do some boozy floozy, give out a prize. We'll also see if Scambaiter Sue will engage in more sexy talk or vomit or maybe perhaps something else.
That was awesome.
It was getting hot, but I need to hurl.
I know. It's like, oh, you're so sexy, baby. Wah!
And we'll see who Ann Jackson will be blaming this week. Will it be victims? Will it be Americans? Or somebody else for her problems?
I know
she
who
tried
it'll
to be.
Be
accountable.
It'll be fucking mafias.
Could be fucking mafias. Got to guess how many Mr. Davins?
Yes.
There are. Made a little bit of show news this week. We were featured in the Sydney Morning Herald in Australia.
Good day.
I know.
We're down under now.
Hey,
where many people have wished us, by the way.
Hey, now, you did put on pants.
I even got a nice blurb in the article. Finally.
I know.
I'll get there. Relax.
I'm just
saying.
This
is the most excited he's been about anything.
I know.
Somebody knows who he is.
Yeah.
No, not completely.
No.
Well, he's a character. But
that's
we'll get there.
That's where
we'll
I was going.
There. But who could argue? We'll get there. But can't argue with that. All right. So this time it was featured, because we've been featured on several things, are scamming the scammers. Some of the shenanigans that we do on that end of things. Because in the past, it's been our investigative reporting.
Right.
You know, with the Avalos thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our whistleblowing with all the pornography and pedophilia and animal cruelty on Facebook. And this time, it was some of those things that we've done with scammers. So this was part two of a piece by Julie Power. She wrote a first piece, which I'll get to in a second. But this piece, which featured us, featured some of Joe's antics.
Yes.
The General Bulldog McIvy, where he scared a scammer away by pretending he was the general. There was a drone over his head at any moment.
That was great that they quoted that even.
I was reading a lot of them. It's, you know, it's funny when you read your nonsense quoted in a serious story.
Newspaper, I know. And yeah. They're talking
about, I mean, the topic was serious. I don't know how the newspaper is serious. Just,
It's just, and that character, General Bulldog McIvy, I was doing that since like fifth grade. That was like an old cat.
Well, and your teacher said you'd never amount to anything.
All of them, yeah. Most of them.
We also had Joe as a lawyer, Michael McClinton, when he was trying to negotiate with Flory's telephone provider, where Joe offered drachmas, a yak, and a farm animal to be named later in payment and everything.
They understood the farm animal part.
It just looks so funny in writing.
I know, drachmas and a yak. I quoted you today at work. Like, what do they want, drachmas and a yak? I'm like, where did that come from?
Should be a bumper sticker.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, I mention you guys in every one of these pieces that I do, but, you
know. Nobody seems to give a shit then until this one.
I know.
Well, I mean, you know.
Listen. Well, you can't make people. You know.
There was a lot of things in our scamming antics that we could have pointed to, because there's certainly been a lot of funny things.
Yes.
But I felt these two stood out, and sure enough, Julia felt that as well. There was Joe. You know, waving, I'm sure, the article around for all to see. Did you show everybody, Joe?
No, actually, I've been so busy lately, I haven't had a chance to show anybody anything.
I figured you were at the comedy club this weekend at Bananas. I mean, she's aware of the show, Denise. Mm-hmm. I figured you'd be showing her.
I mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Dee about, you know, you know, the show and us, and I told Dee, you know, gave her another invite, you know, extended the invite. You extended her that Dee can come on anytime she wants and hang out with us and stuff like that. So, you know, we had a good time.
And she politely laughed.
No, she'll come on someday.
That'd be nice. She's fun. She's fun.
She's a great girl, man. Yeah. She's really cool.
I thought you would have it laminated and lose as a little, like, you know, plate, you know, laminated. Oh, whatever. The thing that goes onto your plate.
I'll put it to you this way. I've been busy and I've been very, very sick. Okay? And I'm finally better.
You still though?
No, I finally just got over it.
Good.
So all I've been doing is sleeping and trying to get better, because I've had the Santa Claus stuff coming and all this other stuff. So that's my main concern, just to get better, finally better. So, yeah, believe me, I'm going to be banging the drum over that thing. I haven't really been on Facebook to do stuff.
I bet Joe's wife is going to try to get that mention in the settlement.
Oh, yeah.
Take that away from you, too.
Probably.
Now, the interesting thing was, as Pip alluded to, you were the character. Joe Curry.
Yes.
Like, somebody like you could not possibly exist in real life, but you were the character.
Dying.
Joe. Do you remember on Opie and Anthony when there was a guy that was calling him? My nickname on with Ant and on the show has always been Foot. And there was a guy that was calling into Opie and Anthony. That was about maybe 10 years ago, something like that.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, calling in is Foot. And I heard rumors of it, and one day I heard the guy try to call him. Like, that's the guy. So Davin calls me, goes, did you hear that? That guy just tried to call him? I go, yeah. And Davin goes, you know what the worst part is? And I'm like, what? He's trying to pretend he's you. And I go, yeah, he really should set his sights higher. I mean, hell, I'd rather be Norton, yeah.
I think that was pre-Norton. He could have gone for a Gorilla Boy, Jeff Norris.
Maybe it was, yeah, a Gorilla Boy was on it. But yeah, it was funny because he's trying to, goes, the worst, saddest part, he's trying to be you. And I'm like, I'm me. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Well, now, you're in a...
The character, Joe Curry, the character.
In Australia and worldwide, no.
The character, Joe Curry.
Which is much better than knowing the real person.
And I guess if you do a search... You know, like a search on the
for assholes.
Yeah, the internet or something like that. You know?
Something like the internet. What else is there besides the internet? Do you have something that's similar?
Well, I tell you, I was born one day, so I brought up my name on there, and there were some Reddit comments from me hanging out on Anthony's show.
That must have been a painful.
Oh God, they were not nice.
No!
Why does he stop? Why doesn't he shut his face and stop laughing?
Oh,
who
was
this guy?
That's the same. Like one of the few times we've been on Reddit, that's the same thing that we complain about: the laughing. Why are people having a good time? Yeah. How dare they?
How dare you on a comedy show?
And the
show
funny
laugh.
Thing is, these people are so—they don't know anything about any of the history. It's like, oh, wait, he's a comic too? Oh, I thought he was just. Oh, I think he played in a band with Ant one time. You know, it's like, and then the unleashing his brother Joe. and goes, "Oh, Joe is just a guy that jumps on Anthony's back as a car, you know, as a carpenter." I'm like, actually, Joe has a career essentially without ever Anthony's help. Joe's essentially, even Anthony himself, we still look as Joe, to the Joe as the boss, you know. So a lot of these people come up with stuff
they don't know.
Just like it's wrong. It's not accurate information, and I laugh at it because they're basing
the real
what
Joe
they're
Curry,
saying.
The real Joe Curry answers the criticisms of the character Joe Curry about Reddit. The real Joe Curry's not happy about the criticisms that the character.
No, it's funny because it's inaccurate.
Look at your all but it's, these people say this. That's why I don't share what they
but
say.
But it's inaccurate. I mean, when you leave shit to me, a lot of it, you're right. You know, I get pissed off.
But when it's inaccurate, it's really annoying.
But it's not annoying. It's just you can't really get mad because it's not accurate. You know?
It's like you don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'll be on the phone with him. He'll leash into me about four different topics, and he's most of the time right.
Yeah, I try to be
concise. You know, the career and this, that, and the other thing, and I'm like, you know, but it's, you get mad at that because something like a debate and, you know, no, it's not. But this other stuff is just wrong. It's wrong.
Well,
it's very
funny. I feel that the character Joe Curry, that phrasing, is both accurate and inaccurate at the same time.
At once.
Which really shows profound writing by Julie Power.
I know. She had an insight that perhaps we were not even aware of.
Just from my conversation with her and listening to some clips from the show, she felt that this is a person, yet a character.
You know what, though? I take that as a compliment.
As well you should.
Where I transcend myself as a regular person into a character.
I like that, too.
You're almost cartoon-like.
Yes, I am.
I often feel that way when you're posting on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm like, this can't be real.
I feel that way when you're sitting next to me.
Yeah, I actually want to make that a topic. That would have been a great topic.
Well, maybe we'll get into it. We'll see. My favorite topic, and then I want to get into this. What I want to talk about with this stuff. My favorite topic, though, is Joe posts this meme. Like, listen up, cupcake. Like, it's got this military guy.
Yes.
Smell the bacon. You know, and it's like, you know, these nationals, blah, 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 blah. We're loosing our country.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, but you don't see the problem with that, do you?
What do you mean problem with that?
It's losing, losing. You posted a meme that spelled it wrong. You want us to listen to this profound meme of yours, and the asshole who put it together can't even spell, and the asshole who posted it still doesn't know, even if I commented on it.
There's no type of spell checking. Do you think when they said, give me liberty or give me death, it was actually give me liberty or give me death? When they actually said that back in the day.
Joe,
but they had
quotes,
they didn't have time, they fixed it later.
If I can't take a meme seriously, if they can't spell, because you know they cobbled it together.
Yeah.
And I can't take somebody who posts a meme seriously who doesn't even notice it.
I don't even know why you would go out in the first place to take a meme seriously. Memes are not to be kidded with. They're serious business.
Well, I don't post memes because I think they're all insane, but you seem to, as a way
like
of expression.
Them.
Oh,
the memes
come on.
Are the bumper sticker of the computer.
Yes, they are.
That's
very good.
I know. Isn't
he wonderful?
No, but I mean, it's for people who are inarticulate. And who can't express things for themselves, somebody else will do it for them, and in this case, misspell some words, so it seemed like Joe put it together himself, and put it out there like it's their own profound thought.
No, because it was a share. It was a share.
I wish he had it. Anyway, I shall move on.
Okay.
Trucker Tom says, Davin didn't recognize R. Lee Emery from Full Metal Jacket?
Is that who that was?
Apparently
You didn't realize that was R. Lee Emery?
No. So the movie once. I moved on with my life. It was a good movie.
I'm
sorry. I don't have the free time that you and a trucker have to watch the same movies over and over
again.
You're
about as fun as a bath full of piranhas.
Yes, but you know what? Here's my mistake, Kip. I actually mentioned him. This is what I get. I mention him. Nobody knows about Joe Curry. Nobody knows about Joe. I actually push him in this latest article, and this is the thank I get.
I'm sorry, I'm still picturing the bath.
Well, I like, that's no fun.
I like...
Ow, 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 ow. Stop it.
I like what you were a couple of days ago. Unknown Joe Curry.
No, that's funny.
An Anthony's lackey friend who doesn't stop laughing.
I'm going to prove a point and drink out of a cup with penguins on it. You stand back, mister. Stand down, mister.
It's a coffee cup with penguins.
Yes.
I don't get that either.
Yeah, Joe is reaching.
No, he's just trying to make a point. I've got a cup with penguins on it. I made you.
I'm going to bet you can't even spell penguins properly.
Oh, let's see.
You want me to use it in a sentence?
P-E-N-G-U-I-N-S. W-I-N-E.
Look at his whole body's going. He's like, get it, never mind. I don't have time for that.
I ain't gonna sit here and tell you I know how to spell. I spell worth the shit. My mother, I used to.
Trying to get through an intro.
When my mother used to read proofread stuff when I was a kid, she'd go, Patrick Henry was a far father. And I'd be laughing. She goes, that's not funny. You're a retard, you asshole. Who writes like this?
That's not funny.
I'm a legal secretary. You didn't pick up one thing?
Well,
you're not my son. Oh, yeah, Nettie would flip, yeah.
That's kind of funny.
I could understand her sentiment.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew the woman, but she seems very smart and on point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you. I tell you, you didn't...
They would have had some fun. You missed all the
Joe diatribe she would go into on me.
Well, if we ever get a Ouija board, she'll be the first one we channel.
No, Devin, you're here to pick up her slack.
I think I do.
Anybody that would ever call my house, like Adam Ferrari, and would call, hey, is his foot home? No, he's not. He's with that girl that lives in Babylon. He comes home at night and steals things like some sort of marauder. But if you see him, tell him I need cigarettes. You know, so that was Nettie.
Like
God miss her. Oh, God, she was one of a kind. I miss that woman.
I'm going to go on with the show now.
Okay.
That wasn't enough show for you? That was pretty good.
Look at you. I've contributed. I used the word marauder in a timely and funny way.
Yes.
Actually, Nettie did, and it
yes.
was funny.
Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't ask you to spell marauder because, again, I don't have 10 minutes to
waste. But he knows who to steal from.
he does know how to steal, which is good.
It's M-A-U-R, marauder, all right?
You are dumb as blocks. Anyway, move on. This is why you can't drink out of a penguin cup. You don't deserve it. You earn a penguin cup, mister.
I worked up to a penguin cup. Maybe I'll get a polar bear cup. But I've got, it's like all sorts of different ranks. Yes. I'm a penguin now. Someday you, mister, will be a penguin. But you'll never make it to polar bear. You'll have to work.
No,
I'm
you're
penguin.
Just a type of penguin.
Yeah.
You're just like one of those little rock hopper penguins. He's got the emperor penguin cup.
The look on your face when she said that, like, what the fuck?
They're a different kind.
No, really?
No, we know. Well, I know. Apparently he doesn't. He was surprised.
I'm the asshole now, okay?
Now and forever.
There's also a type called the jackass penguin.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Is there?
There is.
There's a what called the
jackass penguin.
There's a penguin called the jackass penguin.
Yes.
Joe, you're an inspiration.
You boy, never saw that coming. I had coffee ready for it. Hi, insult joke. How you doing, Dickasino? Has it got me?
At least you got comfy for it. Catch you off guard.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm considerate and give you a lot of leeway before I do you. You're welcome.
It's the holidays.
Sure. It'd just be rude to say something with you not ready.
Hey, I'll be goddamned. All right, yeah, there are all sorts of penguins out there.
Jackass penguins.
Jackass penguins.
Oh, I believed you. Anyway.
Continue.
So the original article,
yes, sir,
was about Andy Scammer, mm-hmm. who I work with from Australia and everything, and her story. And they actually put together a video to go with it, which actually talked to a therapist, a psychologist, about the effects of scamming and everything. So it was actually a pretty big piece.
Yes, it was.
The thing got so big. The original piece, and our piece accompanied it on the next day. Piece got so big that I got word from the person who I talked to in the Pentagon that it was actually being passed around.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Amazing.
See, that's a testament to the work you do and stuff like that, you know, where I posted it today. We're different than a lot of shows out there. A lot of shows with comics and stuff like that, all about the green room and shenanigans. Our show is a lot more than that, and we do a lot more. Mm-hmm. Than a majority of other shows.
Right.
And, it just, you try to get the word out there, and it's not the same thing. And you listen to other shows, and it's all the same. We're different. We're entertaining, and we're different.
But we try.
And we try, and we're trying to make a difference with stuff, and we've gotten articles written about us.
I'm going to do a little recap in just a second. But
right.
I want to continue with it, because you're right, and you can obviously chime in, but I want to continue with this. So the journalist, Julie Power, from what I heard, she actually got kind of, because she didn't know anything about the scamming thing, much like how we came into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guess she kind of got, like, emotional over it at points. You know, the effect of what these scams did to people and to the woman she was talking to, Tracy, and everything. I guess she had, like, tears in her eyes at one point and everything. So that's pretty darn emotional. She actually said that the lone bright spot in the whole thing was the Bulldog McIvy, that with the quote, which she actually tweeted.
Oh, good.
Fun.
She said that all that stuff was the lone bright spot in it. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really interesting because I know the journey I've taken with this, and we've taken as a show, mm-hmm. where how, you know, we just openly mocked it originally and, you know, didn't know what the hell we were dealing with, just did it for goofs.
And also didn't understand what the people that had been involved in it, that had been
victims. Well, that's part
victims.
Of the
journey. Yeah, yeah. What they'd gone through.
Yeah, and we, you know, as we continued, we gained empathy, and then we educated ourselves and have educated other people. It's been a journey. So I thought it would be interesting next week if we interviewed the journalist, Julie Power,
mm-hmm.
and see, you know, what led her to this, how she reacted.
Yeah. Also, another thing, and the emotional thing where she, where you mentioned she got emotional, and the bright spot of it was one of my characters and stuff like that. Here's the thing. Yes. When we get to the point when we're doing this, and we're talking to the scammer, and it's like, well, this is the end. Do you want to continue? Nope. Bye. We laugh and carry on and go, all right, how are we going to pull this on?
Yeah.
But we discussed this when it happened. From an emotional standpoint, we've all stopped and said, my God, what if this isn't a radio show? We're not doing this is something that could throw somebody off the deep end. This is something where if there was a serious emotional connection, this could be absolutely devastating.
Yes. Right.
And we're making light of it because we're a comedy show, but it goes back to what Julie was saying. There is a lot of emotional turmoil, mm-hmm. that for people that are not doing a radio show or taking it as the third person, the second person, it's not good, and it's a horrible thing.
Well, we are a light to a lot of victims too. Besides the education, we educate a lot of people, but we do make them laugh at the scammers.
Sure,
I mean,
everybody needs a little comic relief in this really heavy topic.
I mean, you know, these are people who've had their lives changed for the worse in a lot of different ways. And the article that Julie talks wrote about with Tracy, how Tracy's family reacts to her now, mm-hmm. and everything, because it's, you know, not every family is supportive.
No, that was really sad.
So I definitely recommend everybody check it out in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Mm-hmm.
Go, you could Google Julie Power and or Julie Powers and Sydney Morning Herald and put in scammer, and it'll come up to it.
I'm sure is it on our page? I think it's on our page.
It's a good point, Joe. I did post it on our Facebook page last week. I will be posting on Thursday the article that features us. So you guys can see that as well. You can look for it now, but I'll be posting on Thursday the article that features us, and eventually we'll get that up on our site. But Joe was talking about what we do, how we're not like any ordinary show, and he's right. I actually kept track of what we've done in the past calendar year.
Yeah.
I sent you guys an email. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so I saw
it. It was actually surprising that, you know, like, we get a synopsis.
I know. Who knows we do shit? But in the... it's like you weren't even here.
That's the problem. We're trying to get out.
That's a good point, Joe. You're on point there. I can't argue with that. So in the past calendar year, actually a couple of days less than a calendar year, we have... our show has been made four newspapers.
Yeah.
Miami New Times, New York Daily News, New York Post, and Sydney Morning Herald, with five different stories in two different countries. And of course, these things go around the world because they're on the internet.
Sure.
Also, I am told we might be mentioned in a story coming out very, very soon. Well, I didn't get interviewed for it or anything, but I'm told we might be mentioned in it.
Nice.
And that's an online newspaper that's in the United States, England, and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm told we might get another mention, which is cool. And we also put out a CD. But so, you know, I you don't realize we're doing this. You guys see me. I get frustrated and disgusted with this whole thing.
Yes.
Can I interrupt once? Are you done? I'm not being facetious. Are you done or you got more to go?
No. I mean, you can interrupt.
But don't forget the whole Julie Love thing, that whole thing, the Match.com thing.
Well, that's part of the articles that we were.
I know, but you didn't highlight, and I'm not being facetious because
no, I didn't. You're right.
You know, you ring the bell. You ring the bell. I'm just reminding you.
I'm a ding-a-ling.
No, because I might leave something out because it's what we did. Really, really had.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, starting back in 2012, we started investigating in Juliana Avalos, and of course, at the end of last year, November, she was suing Match.com for $1.5 billion, and we got involved with that. And because of what we had in the situation, all the evidence we found on our own, she left the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the lawsuit was thrown out just a couple of weeks ago. As a matter of fact, before you guys got here, I was working on – because I've been promising that I'm going to get the update on the Busted page, which is all about the Avalos situation on davinsden.com. And for a while, I kept my mouth shut because I got threatened by the lawyer, which I'll put that email up there, too.
Nice.
So everybody can read the threat I received.
I know.
And everything. So even though I was continuing to broadcast on the air with all the findings that I have and everything, I wasn't updating that page. But since it's been dismissed,
now,
as for one of the reasons by the judge, does not pass the laugh test. that's actually in the judge's opinion. Not making that up. I read through the whole thing. That's actually part of it.
And that's a major part of what we did this year, especially with Davin taking all the heat and some stuff.
Yeah.
And forging on and
we're
stuff like that.
We're now incorporated because of those threats.
Yes.
Yes,
so that was that's why I brought that up, because that was also major for our show this year.
Mm-hmm.
Major.
So, and, of course, we had a television appearance
mm-hmm.
just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. You did a really good job.
Well, thank you.
And this is a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of shows out there are not doing. They haven't got. And like I said, I get frustrated because, you know, I see some of the shows. Some of my friends are doing these shows and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I just watch and it's like, it's okay. It's all right. But we're doing something different. I'm not trying to take away from what they're doing. What they're doing is cool.
Right.
But what we're doing is different.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this gets frustrating when you don't get the heat that you feel you deserve. I'm not trying to be like, oh, booty, hoo. It is what it is. But just as a human being, at the end of the day on the drive home, you're like, you know, Jesus Christ, you know?
I really don't know any other radio shows, just to be honest, right, terrestrial, Sirius XM, let alone internet, that have gotten as much press as we have, unless they're like doing some like wacky stunt. Like on the top of a billboard or saying racist things on Twitter or something. You know, when it's those type of things. But for actually being influential
right.
in a positive way.
Right, positive mm-hmm. It's positive press.
Yeah.
It's positive press.
Where it's just
press.
Not, hey, look at these jerk-offs on the radio, which is fine.
You know,
that type of press is good, too. It makes headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as actually being positive and contributing and being influential.
Yes.
Don't really know anything like that.
And not only that, a lot of times, excuse me, a lot of times with comics, people don't take comics seriously. We've had this discussion before, but it's worth repeating. People don't take comics seriously because they think they make jokes. Comics are the most well-read, studied facts, because we have to go up and goof on stuff and we should know our facts. Well, some, but, you know, so when people say, oh, you guys are comics, yeah, but a lot of major league people that went into news and stuff like that were comics.
Yeah.
Some of them are congressmen now, you know, and we do our homework and we make it entertaining, mm-hmm. but we also do our homework on that. So whenever people go, oh, well, these comics, really? 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 Read the article. Read the article. Look at the facts. And then come back and go, oh, you guys are comics? Really? Read the article and then come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still get off on when people I don't know, they'll email me or message me and go, oh, you know, I listened to the show. People I don't know. It was really funny. I had to, like I just got one. I had to bring my husband in here so he could see what I was laughing so hysterically mm-hmm. at. Like, well, that's kind of cool.
It's nice.
Really
it's nice
to hear.
It's like, okay, it's not just me who thinks this shit's funny. Sometimes I don't know.
Well,
you don't. We laugh here, you know, but, you know, it's just, well,
we don't
people.
Have numbers. It's not like I really know. I mean, we have our hardcore group of fans who we love.
Yes, we absolutely.
Do. But, you know, it's not like I'm getting numbers. It's not like people are beating down the door to put this on satellite or terrestrial radio.
No, but
it's not like our agent's beating down the door to take my calls.
The mistake that people make, though, is that they have this idea that these things are easy. They think that you just sit down and you just start talking and, you know, pearls of wisdom. But even the Beatles made Magical Mystery Tour thinking, if we just bring a whole lot of interesting people and crazy stunts and we just film us in a bus, crazy, wild, fun things will happen and that'll be a great movie. No, it was a pile of crap because you can't just say, oh, we'll just like show up, man, and fun things will happen. It'll be entertaining. It was the worst pile of shit, and it was the friggin' Beatles.
Yeah.
You know? So
well, the key is to actually be very well prepared, but mm-hmm. give the illusion that it all just happened randomly.
Yes.
That's what a stand-up comic does on stage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When a comic is really on his game and can really deliver his material, it seems like he's just making it up off the cuff and having a conversation with you. They don't know the hours that it takes to write and refine.
What's good, what's bad, what stays, where the positioning from a five-minute spot into the 10 minutes back can make a difference in the laugh you get.
Now, our show, to be fair, does a lot less prep in certain aspects than we did a couple of years ago.
Yes.
There was a lot more preparation involved. And, you know, it's been cut back, which is fine because we've evolved.
Yeah.
You know, the show's evolved. I also think we can do more serious topics.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In a better way. But we'll see. you know, we'll see what happens.
It's a work in progress, man. Every project's a work in progress, to tell you the truth.
It's been about 3 years, a little bit more than 3 years. I guess this was a good year, even though a lot of times it didn't feel like it. But, you know, you look back, five articles, possibly a sixth on the way in the next day or two.
Think it was a good year because basically we're running on all cylinders, you know. And
As far as getting along, I mean, we've never had a better year as far as that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're on an all cylinder. The shows have been, you know, very good. You know, and we've been making a lot of headway. It's the entertainment business. It's a very tough business. Why do you think nobody really, you know, a lot of people don't get into it? So you just got to, the whole thing is you got to have fun and believe in what you're doing.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, you drive up here, I drive up here, you know, but
throw on pants.
You throw a dab.
Thank you.
Davin throws on
Thank
pants.
Thank you very much for that contribution.
Thank you, which means
the
a
least
lot.
I can do.
Davin throws on pants. You know, so so, and you do it because you believe.
I do believe I should wear pants when you arrive. I believe in that. You're right, Joe. A lot of times I don't want to put on pants when you guys arrive, but I'm like, you know what? For the good of the show, for what we're doing, for what we're giving to the people, I believe the people want all three of the hosts to have pants. Yeah. So I make that concession.
Actually, no. I think it's you have to do it for the good of the show because it's so fucking distracting when you don't have the pants on.
It is true.
Oh, my God.
My ass does stick to the cold metal chair, and it makes a weird noise.
And the yelp when you get up.
That's just my ball sack.
You hear that, folks? It's just his ball sack.
It can yell?
It does. It's got a little mouth. Well, the penis does.
Help me!
Oh, like the fly. what was his name? The guy, the old guy.
I don't know the old guy.
You know, he's got the voice.
Oh, wait.
He's got the voice, really.
I know. That
you know
was
who I'm
so
talking
helpful.
About.
No,
Price?
I don't know.
No. What's his name?
Vincent Price?
Oh, Vincent Price,
yes. Oh, okay. When Vincent Price was like stuck in the web. Help me!
You know what's funny? Think how we're not politicians. We just get, and we feel we will get ISIS. Hey, you remember the time I had to take a piss out the limo and it was dry?
I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like I sometimes like the guy who they were asking him different, levels of government or different, parts of the government, and he could not for the life of him think of the different ones, and he was just so every once in a while we all have one of those moments where it's like, you know, the thing.
Makes for wonderful radio.
It does.
So it's been a good year. I guess keep pushing.
That's all we can do.
A lot of good things. So we'll have Julie on next week. We'll hopefully have the additions to Busted, which will be a lot of things that you guys haven't seen, including the screenshots, some of the screenshots, which I've had for quite a long time, which I never posted before.
Right.
Going to post that up there. And then just an allusion at the end of what I know, and what I can, well, unfortunately what I can't reveal, but what I know. And that'll be the tail end of that thing.
Fine.
And a little warning to the people. I can't reveal, but ooh, Nelly.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
But
like a foreshadowing.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing. So, yeah. So, this week, and I've known this, I had two experiences where it really hit home that people cannot problem solve anymore. you know what I mean? Like they can't. They have to stay in their lane. They can't go above and beyond. They can't figure out. They need to phone someone. Two instances. Joe, you seem confused.
No, because I do it all day long. So I'm just wondering.
Seem confused?
No, because I do it all day long, 8 hours a day.
At that place where you go?
Yes, at the place. What do you call it? What was the name of it?
I don't remember.
Oh, God.
We should listen to other
The
shows.
Day program.
Yeah, the day
when
program.
When I go to the day program.
Joe goes to the day program.
When I go to my day program.
He's a problem solver.
They give me things to do. Yeah.
They give me things to do.
Well, I started laughing because that was my entire day was people that couldn't solve problems for themselves. And I'm like, oh, my God, everybody get off of my teats.
Yeah.
Really? Now? Oh, shoo. I was so annoyed.
What are you, a suckling pig?
Apparently. It was just like I had the whole litter on me. And they're all like, nom, nom,
nom. Six nipple healings.
Oh, God. I was like, everybody off. At least take turns. My nipples are sore. Go.
Little milk factory you got. Little dairy.
Funny.
Very annoying.
So, I go to the Devils game with the wife on Saturday night, New Jersey Devils. The Devils were courteous enough to lose.
Oh, thank God.
As they're wont to do.
Mm. Thank God you weren't disappointed.
How's
the
record this
win?
Could be better. Okay. They're under 500. They're going to be on in a few minutes losing. But so they lose. So we go to the – we parked in a garage because we were running late and I didn't have time to find a spot in Newark. I usually park in Newark. Just parked in the garage.
Yeah.
And so they give you a ticket. They give you a they give you a couple of tickets. They give you a yellow ticket. They give you a white ticket. They give you a receipt because I prepaid.
Okay.
There's a lot of paperwork for me to go to a place where I'm going to like try to you know forget about everything, maybe have a couple of beers, have a good time. There's a lot of paperwork involved.
Right.
Apparently, the yellow ticket you give to the man to get your car, even though he doesn't drive the car to you, he just hands you the keys.
Oh.
Which I did not feel was a tip-worthy thing. I figure if you drive the car 5 feet, well, that deserves a buck.
Yes.
But to actually hand me the keys, you're out of the tip rotation.
No, you hustle that. Yeah.
So he's supposed to get the yellow card. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the white card. And I got a receipt that says I paid.
Okay.
All right. This seems easy enough, right?
You got everything, right?
Well, I didn't say that. But I've been given all this paperwork.
Okay.
So I give the man the yellow ticket. He gives me my keys. I drive down. And I'm trying to get out of there. And now this this woman who works there, she wants the white ticket.
Right.
I can't find the white ticket.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I can't find the white ticket. Here's the receipt. I paid. This is what you need to know. It says when I came in. It says how much I paid. Let me go.
Right.
No, no. You can't do that. You need the white ticket. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't have the white ticket. Here's the receipt. I paid. And the wife chimes in. She goes, no, he gave the guy upstairs the white ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman downstairs like, no, he didn't. And I didn't, but it sounded like a good argument.
Yeah.
So she's like, you got to pull over and you got to find the white ticket. I'm like, are you kidding me? You put us in a garage. People have been drinking for hours and you can't handle not having the ticket. Here's the receipt. You could see I paid. Open up the gate.
I call the cop.
Let me go. So you got to pull over if you want to get out. So I go to the guy in the booth, because I figure the guy in the booth who's handling the money should be the guy in charge.
You
right?
You'd think.
No.
No.
He's not the guy in charge. The woman I was just dealing with is the woman in charge.
No. Oh, God.
I'm like, I can't find the ticket. It's like, well, then you'll have to pay for the ticket. I don't even know what the ticket cost. Here's the receipt. I paid. Open up the gate. I can't do that. We have to process the ticket. Why do you have to process the ticket? You have a receipt. Hit the button. Are you telling me there's no manual on it? Like, no manual button push to let me out? I'm not trying to get out of not paying. Here's the receipt.
Yeah.
She could not solve the problem.
Oh, my God.
I would have been stuck there. Fortunately, I found the white ticket in the other pocket. Not the point, though.
No, no, no. The thing is, it's like, what kind of ridiculous system do they have that they have to double-check each other, that the guy with the keys has to have a little piece of paper, she has to have a little piece of paper, you get a piece of paper. Like, you can't, and you can't leave until everybody's got their pieces of paper?
It's crazy. You can't release people from the parking garage with a filing cabinet's worth of paper, little pieces of paper, expect us to get drunk. And I didn't drink, but I could have.
Yeah.
And get in my car.
Yeah.
And have all this people paper. Because you know what? You're taking things in and out of your pocket. Your hands are cold.
Right.
Looking for tissues. Got to put your tickets to the hockey game or the concert or whatever the case may be. Really? I now need to be responsible for three pieces of stupid paper?
Let me just ask you, how much does this parking cost?
It was like $17.
Yeah. And so it would cost you another $17 because you don't have the piece of paper?
This ticket could have been made from platinum gold.
Oh, my God.
Could have been a $50 ticket.
It's stupid people working in a low paying job that deserve to be in a low paying job because they're stupid and can't think outside the box.
Well, let me give you another example the next day.
Well, 1 second. It's not even thinking outside of the box. It's thinking within the box.
Well, no, it's not that. I think what happens is these businesses so micromanage everybody. That nobody's allowed to do anything else. Nobody's allowed to problem solve. Which is the problem when you're the one, air quoted, running the place.
Right.
You should be the one. So I'll give you the next day. Next day we go to the supermarket. I run into, drop the kid off at Hebrew school. Rabbi comes up to the car. I'm thrilled.
What did he say this week?
He jokes as Elisa's next, the wife's next to me. He jokes, he's not armed, is he?
Oh, you're hilarious.
He just doesn't get it.
No.
So. Anyway, so we go to the supermarket, pick up a couple things, including a tomato.
Okay.
A tomato from a vine.
I'll be damned.
Exactly.
Look at that. Red and all.
Sure. Tomato says $2.49. The sign says $2.49.
Okay.
There's another type of tomato that's $2.49. And then they have what they call ugly tomatoes, which are $3.99.
Okay.
So we go to the self-checkout to pay for the tomato.
Right.
The tomato rings up as $2.99.
Okay.
Now, in ShopRite, when it rings up wrong, if it's $10 or less, you get the item for free.
Okay.
Which actually happened to us the day before.
Oh.
We got the item for free, although they screwed that up too. They didn't give us all we were supposed to get, but whatever. So we're like, all right, we're going to get a free tomato. Yay right. for the Rosenblatts. It's a big day. It's a big day in our house.
It'll be good eating tonight.
If I had known this, we would have bought several tomatoes.
We could even slice this tomato like three ways.
So this should be an easy problem solve.
Yeah.
So the wife presents the tomato, gives the little sticker that the tomato scans. It scans as $2.99.
Right.
In her thing. There are no $2.99 tomatoes. There's $2.49 tomatoes.
Or $3.99.
There are no. But it scans properly there as $2.49.
Oh.
It scanned it. When my wife did it at the self-checkout, it scanned $2.99.
Right.
Okay. So, but you could see the receipt. See it scanned as $2.99.
Right.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Again, should be a problem solve here.
Right.
Let's just give the lady back the money, give her tomato, and send her on her way.
Really?
Well, here's the problem. Because it rings up properly there at the customer service desk.
Right.
This apparently is an issue with the computers at the self-checkout thing.
Okay.
So we need to call IT upstairs.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That was my thing.
Give the woman the fucking tomato and send her home.
So now they have to call upstairs, and this is taking a while, and people to me are like, are you online because I'm standing a little bit back? And I'm like, it's a tomato. We don't need the tomato. Let's go home. We'll have bagels and cream cheese and lox without the tomato. We don't need this tomato. What is the problem? And people are like, are you online? I'm like, no, I'm just audience for this.
Yeah. IT stands for information tomatoes.
Important tomatoes.
Important tomatoes.
You would think. But then she says, well, this is going to take a while because they're not answering right away. Are you shitting me?
No, this is going to take no time at all because here's the receipt. Give me what I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is not in her jurisdiction. This is out of her lane. This is an IT situation. This isn't that the sign was wrong and it rang up wrong, or the sign said one thing and it rang up wrong. This is because it rang up as two different prices in two different places. This is a whole different type of problem.
That's fine. Give me my money or give me what I'm supposed to get, and you take it up with IT later.
Yeah, really. Why do I have to stand here jerking around with you people over a tomato? Like, you guys fix your problem later.
Yeah, give us the money back.
Let's go.
So we should have gotten the tomato for free.
Yes.
So finally, they just gave us 50 cents back because, like, I'm like, really? But the point again is, people, they're incompetent. And I see it with my daughter. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to problem solve. Listen, I don't like to problem solve, but I am constantly solving problems, many of which are not of my making.
Let me tell you something. If you had to deal with one of the vendors that I deal with, they are so stupid and moronic. There was an order I had. The order was for $2,500 or something like that? And what they do is they'll ship it free freight allowed, which they'll pay the freight to ship it at a certain amount. The order was under by 2 cents, and they held it.
No.
A $6,000 order for 2 cents.
I laid into them with both fangs.
Yeah.
One of my sales managers goes, Joe, you know, you're going to take it. I go, for 2 cents? No. Are you kidding? And my other sales managers agreed. He goes, I saw what he wrote. Screw him. I go, for 2 cents?
Yeah.
How stupid. I had another. Some of the dumbest people. I had stuff changed from. They were supposed to change orders from.
Now, could you have solved this problem by giving them 4 cents on the next one? You know, giving them an extra 2 cents for the troubles, Joe.
It's like, can we just throw in another sprocket of some sort?
You have to argue with them. I had an order with them the other day. I took the order on Friday. I said, I need the order to ship today or Monday. I called yesterday. Everything is in stock. Is it going today? Yeah. It shows that the ship date is today. Is it going today? Oh, well, that's what the computer shows, but it is going today. Right. Are you sure? Is it going today?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I called this morning. One item went. I go, what happened to the other item? It didn't go. Well, I guess they didn't have it right. I was told it was shipping today.
Yeah.
So I go. I get the supervisor on the phone. She goes, what seems to be the problem? I go, I sent an order specifically telling you people to ship it today. Yesterday. I go, I was told yesterday it was shipping. I go, it did not ship. Why? Well, there was a piece of thing that they had to cut. I go, I don't care. I go, why didn't, if that was the problem, why wasn't I called when I was told it was going today?
Yeah.
She goes, all right, we'll ship it today, next day, yeah. I go, who's picking up the tab? We will. I deal with this all day long.
Yep.
The incompetence of people astounds me.
I often feel the same way just with this show.
Mm.
With the little things I have to deal with. But you solve problems.
Yes, you do.
You do it all day long. That's the funny thing. Well, like when we had a chat one time, Davin tells me, you know, I'm getting sick of talking and making sure people do stuff. I go, that's it. That was my day.
Yes.
If people could do things.
I know. Well, all day long, I chase people around. The paperwork chase is just crazy. We have, three-part forms. You have to attach something to the back of it, and then it has to go through all these levels of, approval before something can get paid. And the nonsense that I go through chasing people around and going, where is it? There's one knucklehead who puts it in his briefcase, and he brings the stuff home, never to be seen again,
yeah.
And then wants to know, why didn't you pay this bill? Well, you took all the crap home with you, didn't you? I can't prove it because I can't go to his office at home and look for it. But the astounding thing that killed me today, I call them my evil overlords. One of the evil overlords, not one of them, a couple of them, are attorneys.
And, stands to reason.
Yeah. So this one calls me up today. He's got this document I prepared. And I can't make this more clear. We have to move money from this place to this place. And I said, this is the amount that's going from this place. The same amount is in the other column going, that's where it's going. He called me up to have a conversation. I spent about 20 minutes when I was on a deadline explaining to him, see how that number? Yeah. See, it's the same number in the other column? Uh-huh. And they both have that same department mentioned in the column, the explanation column? Uh-huh. You're an attorney?
They're stupid. One time my mom came home from work, and I was 13, 12. She goes, Joseph, what's a beneficiary? I go, if somebody passes away, yeah, the beneficiary will get whatever monies they're owed. Very good. You figured that out. How old are you? I go, I'm 13. Could you explain to me why a 40-year-old Harvard lawyer couldn't figure that out? And I had to explain that to him.
I can explain to you why.
Why?
Why he couldn't figure it out. It's a very honest answer.
Why?
Because he doesn't have to. Because he has legal secretaries.
It's
the same with, I can't do math I used to be able to do because I have a computer. Well, when you have somebody that will figure things out for you, you get dumber.
Yes, apparently that's the problem because this guy must have a whole troop working for him. Okay. Oh, my God.
Also, I was going to do this in chit-chat, but it fits right in right now. I did a Santa Claus gig.
People are like, what the hell is this chit-chat?
We're talking about. But I had a Santa Claus gig, ironically, in Newark. Okay, so stupidity runs rampant there. All right. So
it's the capital of stupid.
Right. And for a change, me and Joe weren't the supplier of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I know, really.
So I'm in Newark, and 10 minutes before the gig, it's a restaurant that I did last year. Very nice people that have it. It's a company that has this every year. It's my second year doing it, so I know what the gig entails.
Good.
What the gig entails is that the woman will come downstairs with presents and put it in one of my bags, and I go upstairs, and I do my whole shtick and stuff like that. I know that she has to be notified. I know she needs to come downstairs.
Yeah.
So I get to the gig. I call, and I also know that calling people at a restaurant show, calling people during the party is rough because they're entertaining, they're talking and stuff, you're not going to get them. The best thing to do is call the restaurant, speak to the person at the front desk.
Hold on. You know what? I didn't know this was on the docket, but we are prepared for this from previous years.
Oh, do you have the song?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Play it.
I didn't know, Joe.
Oh, good, good.
I saw the way this is going.
Oh, good. I love this.
Christmas, where friends and family get together and share the warmth and happiness of the holiday season. A big part of this is Santa Claus, who spreads hope and joy to children throughout the world. But sometimes, it just don't turn out that way. No! Santa has to deal with stupid parents, bratty kids, traffic, lousy parking, tolls, having kids go through my candy cane bucket like they're piranhas, holding a piss in for 7 hours straight, being loaded like a pack mule to lug in presents into their stupid house. And if you think I'm unpleasant for 11 months out of the year and I'm going to change for one more, you're nuts! Welcome to Santa! Ho, ho, ho!
Hell Gang!
Glad I remembered we had this.
I know, that's so great. I'm literally hitting you on the arm. I'm loving this so much.
I'm so glad you played it, because, be frank, I was going to tell the story during the course of the show, but I didn't know with the nor'easter. I didn't know when I was going to get here, so I didn't. Yeah, but I'm so glad you played that.
Well, I'm sure it won't be the last time we'll play.
We'll probably be cranking that next week.
So have it ready every week.
Like I said, it's imperative that the woman comes downstairs. Yeah. So 10 minutes before the show, I call the restaurant. I go, "Hi, I'm playing Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. There is a I'm playing Santa Claus.
Do you know who I am? You should. I know who you are.
I go. I'm playing Santa Claus. I'm a character, of course, But I go, I'm playing Santa Claus. I go, there's a party you're catering upstairs. I go, I'm playing Santa Claus there. Could you please let the people know, the two people, that I will be coming there in 10 minutes? There's a party. Yes, upstairs.
Oh, Lord.
Upstairs, there's a party there. Oh, and now who are you? I go, I'm playing Santa Claus.
Well, maybe you should have given her your other name, Chris Kringle.
No.
Old St. Nick.
And I go, I'm playing Santa Claus. You have a party there. I named the
company. Father Christmas.
Yeah, really, you can't blame her. You need to be prepared.
Oh, yes, I can.
Not everybody knows you by your comfortable.
Who the hell doesn't know Santa Claus?
This person who answered, that's who. Your first one of the season, we found somebody who doesn't know. You, as Kris Kringle, need to have other answers. You're different in all different cultures. The fault's with you.
No, at least not if he died. But anyway.
Leave the Latinos out of this.
Right. So anyway, it was for Latinos. But anyway, it was this Portuguese.
Was it?
Yeah.
And they hired you back?
Well, it was Portuguese joint, right? So I go, look, somebody please tell. But there's a part. And then I went plumbing supply. I went plumbing supply. I said, look, go upstairs. Find who's in charge of the party. Tell him Santa Claus is coming. Now, what are you going to do? You're going upstairs? Going upstairs. And who are you going to tell him? You're going to find a person, and you're going to tell him what? That the Santa Claus will be there in 10 minutes. Good.
Now, did you tell this person how important this was because you were trying to find parking with all these reindeer?
I looked at a parking lot. Dude, I looked at a parking. Everybody was double parked. I looked at a parking. That was the one thing that did go right.
Well, you know, Rudolph said he would call you on the cell if the cops came around.
Yeah.
Better move the sled. They're looking at us funny.
So you would think.
It was the lookout.
Yeah. So you would think, and 9 times out of 10, when I do have, you know, when I do have restaurant staff, they usually get their act together and they'll get that. So I walk in.
Well, sure, you don't want to piss off Santa Claus.
Well, I know. So the woman there, I go, hi. I go, I'm Santa Claus.
Now, did you manage to say it nicely?
Because I'm in Santa Claus now.
Okay.
Oh, right.
I didn't realize, Sybil.
Now, well, no, because I have to get out of the car. Because the guy was an asshole, and he had to be told specifically what to do. He can't bug goddamn instructions. But anyway, so.
Well, aren't you just a little bit of holiday cheer?
What a rate of.
Well, Santa Claus, you are. First one out of the box. He hasn't even had a bunch of these gigs yet. First one out of the box, he's a prick.
But he's a ray of it was just. Sunshine.
It was because you want to know something, and I'll tell you why. Because I knew this show, and I knew that the client's show was hinging on her coming downstairs and giving me the present. She just, I couldn't, if I went up there without it would have ruined the gig.
Yes. Why didn't you have the client's cell phone?
I did. They're not answering it because they're in the middle of a party.
Well, then they're a stupid person then, too. But they know Santa Claus
but
is coming.
Now, this goes back to what you say about problem solving, okay?
Yeah.
This is my 6th year doing it, and I know I'll try the number. If they don't answer, I have to go to Plan B at the restaurant.
You have to get
downstairs. I call the
client. Plan B the chimney?
It would have worked. But if I don't have toys, I'm not coming down it. That's the whole thing. I knew what the gig entailed.
Yeah, you can't leave the toys outside the sled because it's nowhere.
No. Sounds like he's actually considering this.
Sorry, I got more, but anyway.
What's this empty bag doing here?
Right. But anyway, so like I said, I was in the car. I don't have to be in character. I'm right. Like, get up the garner.
I can be the miserable prick I am for the 5 minutes.
No, because sometimes if I call and if I'm at a private home and hello, hi, this is Santa Claus. How are you?
Yes.
Selling a gig. I mean, character is part of the allure. Okay.
Right.
The call is Santa. No,
this certainly isn't
it's Santa. No, it's not. Because I'm dealing with an asshole who can't understand directions.
Immediately on the naughty list. Immediately the reception. This is reception is getting nothing but a lump of coal from Santa Claus.
But you gotta understand. He knows that in a couple minutes he's gonna have a candy cane where it does not belong.
Yeah. But you gotta understand. I'm doing this to make sure the client's show that I was hired to do goes smoothly.
But you don't understand. They don't give a rat's ass what report you get. They just care that the food's good upstairs.
You want to know something, though? If something goes wrong,
it's your ass on the line.
It's my ass on
and
the line.
And they know that.
And you know what? So I got to make sure that I'm very, you know, out front, and to make sure that I need everything to go just so, because I know it's entailed. Because
right.
You know what? What if I didn't go? If I said to hell with it and went upstairs with the presents, I'm going to get a call. You know, he just came upstairs. He didn't do this. It's on me.
Like
it's
you were dancing
me.
Naked on the table.
And it gets right. And it gets frustrating because I have to get something accomplished using somebody else that's not getting it.
Right.
I deal with this every week. I feel your pain. Except I don't have the allure of Santa Claus.
No, he doesn't have to do any character. He's like, look, you assholes.
Yes, we had one of those incidents before.
Right.
Yes.
But it's not that I'm losing, you know, I know what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I figure, all right, so she'll be downstairs with the presents. So I walk into the restaurant as Santa, and now I'm Santa Claus.
Right.
Of course
I
you are.
Of course. I go in, I've got, you know, Santa Claus. Hi, it's Santa Claus. Oh, hi, Santa Claus. How are you? And I go.
Are you meeting the maid? What the hell was that?
Pretty much. All right. So I go, yes, I'm here for the party, for so and so, blah, blah, blah. It's upstairs. I think it's downstairs. No, it's upstairs. It's upstairs. I don't think so. So she goes to somebody else. And this other guy walks out. I go, I'm here for the party upstairs.
Did you know the name of the company?
Yes, I did.
And you said, well, why don't you look in your little book?
I did. I'm not saying it on the air because I don't, you know, it's not.
No, I don't know.
No.
The name of the company, but you say,
yes,
X
I did.
Company,
I did.
Your book.
Davin, I did. I'm not being, I'm not, yeah, I'm just frustrated. I'm not, for three.
Well, take it out on me. I didn't hire
no,
you.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 3 to 4 times I said it. It's just the situation. To four times that I said that.
Maybe they couldn't believe it's you. They only heard of you. Well, never thought you were real.
Well, no matter who the fuck I am, I got to go up them stairs. Which shit.
If you were the real Santa Claus, you wouldn't need stairs. Maybe they didn't want a little.
But I would need presents. I need presents. That's what I need.
It's Newark.
Goddamn stairs.
You could be an imposter. The real Santa Claus doesn't need stairs and have to come there for presents.
Then prove me. I don't. I got
real me. Santa Claus.
You have ideas, says Chris Kringle. Well, it doesn't say Santa Claus.
Fuck you. But so I go the third person. I go.
See Joe standing there sweating his
as
balls.
As Santa Claus. As trying to keep him from losing my temper.
Yeah. I know, that's the
and
worst
it's like,
part.
And it's like, oh, then the second guy comes, oh no, I think downstairs. I go, no, it's upstairs.
Just
so
somebody
the third guy
up
comes
the
up,
stairs.
And I see the sign. I go, it's upstairs. And then I go, oh, it's upstairs.
Sign.
And it's the sign on the door at the company. I go, here, there, upstairs. I go,
trying to get the sign. Like, look, Lassie, go to the
I
well.
Did.
What is it, boy?
I'm not. I know it's. I've been there before. It's
yes.
On the job sheet.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be back.
Fucking sign is on the door to go fucking upstairs. God damn it all. So
well, that's not going to be a very Merry Christmas.
But
no,
I had
Santa.
To make
I think
one.
We're converting to Judaism. Santa's a prick.
I know. Santa's trying to make a party go very special.
I can tell by your anger.
So finally,
it's getting frosty.
He certainly is.
So
he should have gone as Frosty the Snowman.
It would have melted.
Then they would have been happy. It would have disappeared, and the problem would have been solved.
It would have been a puddle. There would have been a carrot and some coal.
So then finally, the woman comes downstairs.
I like this. All this for a gig that really sucks no matter how you do it. Because at the end of the day, you're Santa Claus.
Right. But here's the deal. And it's like when we do, like, if you do a bone gig or something like that, you make sure the mic's working. You make sure the PA's working. The gig stinks. You know, there's four people. You make sure the PA's working. You know why? Because it's a gig. It's what
you
we
still
do.
Go through the motions.
You make sure you get, it's the show. You're getting paid, whatever. It's the gig.
It's like,
you've got to figure it out.
It's like a woman giving oral treats to a man that had asparagus earlier in the day.
Mm.
You're going through the motions. You're not enjoying it, but it's still oral treats.
You're taking one for the team.
You're going to fake it. You do what you got to do.
Thing, because you took the job, it might be a bargain.
Yes, but the point. You took the job.
Fine. But that's the thing. You took the gig. You're there. This is the way the gig is supposed to go. You're getting paid no matter what it is.
Play with
you,
the balls.
Right.
Let's all get past
you got to figure. You've got to make this. You've got to make this
play
work.
Play with the jingle balls. Right. Let's make it happen.
Regardless,
I'm with you.
Right. Regardless of where we're doing a show, stand up, the radio, your etiquette, you got to make it work. All right?
No matter what, you mind the teeth.
Right. So finally the lady comes downstairs. Okay, and then I get the presents and I go upstairs. Now I gotta go through the read my stories. And the woman that I work for always make sure you do the entrance song and make sure you read the stories. Aye. It's just so magical when people hear it. Aye. She's never been on one of these gigs. Let me tell you something. I went up there and I read the night before Christmas in front of 12 kids, and I could have been bullshitting about liver. They could give a shit. I walked one.
You walked a kid?
I walked a kid. She went back to the table.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
even the kids don't want to put up with your nonsense. Yeah.
Trevor Tom says, Jesus Christ, my blood pressure just spiked listening
it was
to
enough
Joe's
to story. It was just enough to make it nuts. Now don't get me wrong, when the part you've got to do this so you have because it's magical. You gotta do it.
Yes.
So I get through a story and then I start singing the songs and the songs are going, yeah, you know. But it's part of the show. It's part of the show.
Magic.
It's part of the show, right? And
did you do a McClinton song mixed in there?
I should have.
Walk away.
Michael was McClinton. If Michael was Sandy, he'd be taking the toys and going back up the chimney. But anyway.
But it'd be different elf for each appearance.
Music. But anyway, the people are very, you know, the kids are kids. They want to get their present. The lady was a sweetheart. She's a doll. She's always, you know, it's been the past couple of years. So yeah. I get the gig and stuff. I get a tip and stuff like that. Now I have to head back to the car and I'm walking down the street and there's these three thugs. Hey, Santa Claus.
Oh, hi, no.
How are you? Hey, Santa Claus.
You're still a character.
I'm a character.
I would be like, listen, MF.
Yeah, I know, right?
Santa's off the clock.
I know. Merry Christmas. What do you want for Christmas? A new Glock? I didn't say that. But
what do you want for Christmas? Not to be beaten up by the cops?
Ho, ho, ho.
He reaches about, ran into his waistband. No, I already got one.
And now I'm walking the car, and these guys, I think, are following me. Santa Claus, give me a dollar. Oh, I don't have a dollar. I go, these kids gonna roll me?
Oh my god!
Can you imagine the video?
Santa getting rolled.
I'm glad me getting rolled by three street toughs will make you a day.
Santa Claus, it will. Not as regular as you. As regular you, it's terrible. But a Santa Claus,
hilarious.
You know what? I'd be less upset if it was regular me, because you know regular me, I'd probably have it coming some way. You know,
Santa Claus
is an icon.
But Santa, you're not warm and cuddly either. So either way,
I am warm and cuddly as Santa.
Not from that story.
No. He's wearing extra layers.
I was warm. I'm a very sweet and cuddly fun Santa.
Why am I
motioning that I'm holding my Santa bag? I'm on the radio, asshole.
Still holding an imaginary bag over his shoulder.
Yeah, what a moron. I'm as dumb as they come.
He was going to get rolled and he didn't want to drop it and put it down.
I don't know. He had that fist up.
So there's about a 2 minute period. I was a little scared. These guys were going to.
Yeah.
Because they were darker than you.
Yeah, well, no. little tan. But then he went away. So that was the first one of the year.
Oh, my God. This is only the first story.
Well, that's why we have a theme song. There'll be more.
I know. That is a hell gig.
It is a gig. Everything leading up to it and after it is a federal case.
Oh.
When you're actually there in character, you're having fun, you're meeting the kid, it's fun.
Yeah.
All right. But everything, it's usually the parents that ruin it. Or other stuff. Because, like I said, a lot of times you will call, and you brought up a point. Well, why don't you call the people? She puts on the job sheet. She's very specific. She's very good.
I'm aware.
You are. Okay. With the numbers. And you call, and it's the time. You have to arrive here. I will call 10 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody picks up the phone. And you will call again. And nobody picks up the phone. If you are told, when the performer is going to be there, wouldn't you think to
keep
have the phone
eye
on
your phone? Yeah.
You know, I'll give you just a quick example. Cammie, my playwriting partner, she was at a play synopsis thing where they run over plays.
Joe, we got to take a break.
She had a play with it. And she goes, Joe, do me a favor. Between 7:30 and 8, please have the phone on. I'm at this, and my friend might want something from her. The phone was on.
Of course.
Just in case she called. If you know somebody is coming, leave the damn phone on. So there you go.
You know, I understand how frustrating it can be to deal with incompetence.
Yeah.
I feel your pain, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But next time, I think the lesson learned is have a couple names prepared. I would have some various Santa IDs. Your St. Nick's. Your Kris Kringles.
No. All I need is three dumbbells.
I have a laminator.
Yeah.
All I needed was three dumbbells at a podium to read a sign 2 feet in front of them going, party this way.
Listen, humanity.
I know.
I'm looking at my hey, what are you going to do?
Humanity is full of disappointments.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of them work in customer service.
Yes.
We'll be back
with
Boozy or Floozy in a few minutes.
See you in a couple.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday night on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm,
TalkSuperstation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, and Clutch and Wiggle. On iHeartRadio, you'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. The platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, Davinsden.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.